Hello and welcome.
Hi.
We're back at it.
What's up, married guy?
Podcasting.
Hey, married
first,
guy.
First podcast as a married man.
And?
Feels good.
How's it being a jewelry man?
Yeah, I'm really having to get adjusted to...
I don't know. I've seen you wear tons of rings before. You just had to take all your other ones off, right? So that's what's weird?
Yeah. should we just do a wedding episode?
Sure.
Like a quickie, you know?
Like right now or next?
No, next.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so we don't need to talk too much about
the
wedding.
Okay, we'll get on that one.
But I am getting adjusted to the fucking ring. It feels weird.
See, I feel like I'd be like all the time on stuff.
What I didn't realize was how much the size of your finger changes, like depending on like weather and stuff.
Yeah.
Because like right now it's very
loose,
like, loose. But then there's times where I'm like, oh my,
it's like stuck on.
God, yeah.
I want. Yeah. So if it's hotter, it's fatter.
I don't know. I can't remember. And also, like, if you eat like salty foods, maybe
it's
your finger. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I have not eaten yet
today,
really. No.
I've had a coffee and I'm on a tea kick.
Oh, nice.
Which I'm very much enjoying.
Nice.
I always thought tea was kind of boring and I found one that fucking rocks.
Okay.
And I'm all,
what
like,
kind of tea is it?
It's like, it was called sweet and spicy. So it's like, cinnamon and, ginger and lemon and stuff, but it's all in the tea bag. You don't have to like add anything.
Nice.
I didn't know it could be so flavorful.
Hey.
But now I'm kind of like caffeinated like crazy.
Because of the tea.
Well, I had a coffee too. But there is caffeine in this.
Gotcha.
Nice. But I'm all right.
Good.
Yeah. We're in the shed. Oh, we're in the shed.
We're in the shed.
We're not normally in the shed.
John's recording vocals right now on a John the Ghost song in the studio. So I grabbed the gear and...
I feel like it feels pretty good to do in here.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, this is nice.
Yeah. I've added some things. I need to make clean up over there.
Yeah.
But
it feels very much like a mad scientist little world in here. Yeah. I like it.
Like, watch, we got a little organ. I like it.
Nice.
I want to, whenever we do a next acoustic tour, I want to get good at that and
so
not
can,
play bass.
So you can bring the organ with you?
And play organ and bass in my feet.
All right.
That's what I want to do.
Cool.
I thought it'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I could be the guy behind that thing. I feel like there's so much going on right now.
Yeah.
In a cool
way. We're getting
way.
8123 days coming up.
Yeah.
On the 21st. So we got Lupe coming into town in a couple days to record a bunch of things for that.
Yeah.
So... If you live in Arizona, we're going to be doing a meet and greet at the 8123 shop that day, the 21st. And then we're also...
emoing it.
Doing an emo night at the Rebel Lounge. There's a few tickets left, so you can get those on the Rebel Lounge website. And then the European tour is coming up very soon.
Yeah.
So get your tickets for that.
I'm pumped for that.
The Mirror.
The Mirror in Europe.
Is back. Mirror is back.
I gotta get some more long johns.
Yeah,
I think it's been fucking freezing.
Yeah, I haven't looked online to see the.
I asked and people
temps
said
in that zone.
People said, "Yeah, I'm
cool,
screwed."
yeah, John was out in LA writing some songs.
Yeah,
some very cool.
Yeah,
very great stuff.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm most excited about right now.
I mean. Mind-blowing things. So, we're going to get in the studio and keep messing around with some stuff. And
yeah.
See,
this thing never stops.
Yeah. So we're like balancing, you know, doing everything for 8123 day, working on some songs and then getting ready for the tour.
Mm-hmm.
And then planning for the future. So there's always six things happening at the same time.
Yeah.
Which
we're
is
figuring
nice.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Did we talk about what we're talking about?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Brighton.
Brighton.
Brighton the band.
The band Brighton.
Which features Justin, who was in A Rocket to the Moon. And his brother Jimmy, and then Alex. Great guys. We'll get into exactly what happens, but I guess to preference it, it's, you know, we were 14 years old playing in a local band and were able to meet them, and they befriended us and taught us how to be a band, and that really set the tone for the Maine. So
yeah,
incredible band. So
and some of our greatest friends.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we'll get into the show. Be a message from a sponsor, and then right after that, we'll play a little bit of "Ready When You Are" by Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is. Yeah, this just brings back instantly, takes me back to 2006, 2005.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was kind of like what was about to change everything.
Yeah.
Like them coming and us becoming best friends, like, taught us how to do all of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, probably what they were thinking at the time is like, who are these, like, 14 or 15 year old kids, yeah, but are like running shit.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, yeah, we were so, you know, we had our bands going in Arizona, and Tim was working at the venue and printing shirts and at the clothing company, all those things. And it was, but like everything was very, local still.
Yeah.
And,
well, they were like the first, at least for me, the first band that toured that like I became friends with.
Yeah.
So it was like, one, you feel cool because you're homies with like a band that's from California. I remember one of the first things I ever asked them was, so like, you guys live like really close to the beach?
Yeah.
It's like 5 hours.
Yeah.
But it's just so funny, like how I didn't know anything. And yeah, and they were just so cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, kind of how it began is that there was a friend, a kid that I used to play in a band with Tim, and he had heard of Brighton. He had heard of him through Isley, which was another band, and he sent me and Tim their MySpace link, and we started like listening to them and thought they were awesome. I mean, they had this EP out, and I mean, it was so good and like very unique and just fantastic band. I mean, his voice and lyrics and vocal melodies were just kind of unlike anything I had heard.
Yeah,
before
it yeah.
So we instantly and that song, got pretty obsessed.
That song just seemed like such a big song to me. Like, I thought, I was like, how is this not like the biggest fucking song?
Yeah.
In like this scene.
Yeah. Play the chorus. Play the.
Okay. Sorry. Phone. All right, so I gotta go back a little bit. The chorus gets real quick.
Yeah, this is awesome. Awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, and, you know, we're 14 years old and we're hearing this and just like our minds are blown. So Tim messaged them and, you know, told them that he books shows and all these things. And they were, we offered them a place to stay at my parents' house, and
yeah,
I think the first time they came, I don't even think they played a show.
No,
the first time they came, they just had like an off day on their tour.
Well, Tim was printing the shirts,
yeah,
and I think yeah, us three were at, you know, now Tim's house, but your other brother Brian's at the time, where we used to print shirts,
yeah.
we were there and it was like, fuck, they're going to be here in like an hour. And like, we're just like running, just printing as quick as we possibly could. And then they roll up and I was just like, oh, hey, what's up?
Yeah, so they stayed at my parents' house for like 2 days, I think. It was actually them and another band.
Who was, I don't remember that.
I'm forgetting their name, but Jacob from Dreamers was in that band.
He stayed at your house?
Yeah.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
How did I not know this?
I don't know.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He was the singer of that band.
Maybe that's why he always looked familiar. Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. I didn't know that.
But anyways, yeah, so they stayed at my parents' house for a couple days, and we went and went to Guitar Center, and Justin bought a guitar, and we jammed with them in the room at my house.
I remember just talking with Jimmy, like all us three, pretty much me listening to you guys talk, because you guys were just like, you guys were both the business guys.
Yeah.
And so you guys connected like instantly and would just talk about, and like, not that Jimmy was jaded, but he was like kind of like a realist, I guess.
Yeah.
And so like you were getting that perspective, but also being like, super amped and like,
well, there was nothing that could have gotten me not feeling like this is the coolest thing. Like even him saying like how unglamorous it is or all these things, I was just like, what do you mean? This is amazing, you know?
Yeah. And in his head, he's like probably 23. I don't know. He was he was definitely older than us. Like staying at some kid's house.
But, you know, they were just so cool, became close friends, like, instantly, and they would just always come and stay at my house, you know, when they were in town, and my mom would cook them food, and, you know.
But then, like, every hang used to, like, they used to almost make more time just to chill.
Yeah.
Like, when they'd go on tour, it felt like sometimes they were there for, like, a week.
Yeah.
And then, like, that just kept getting longer and longer until the main started, and they would be there for months.
And we kind of had this thing going in town. So, like, we had friends that were doing, like, videos, and we had friends that were recording bands, and we had Tim, you know, promoting shows and making merch and stuff. So they were, like, working with all those people then. You know, we introduced them, and they shot a music video for a song at this church that we used to go to.
Yeah.
And, you know, for us, it was just because, you know, they were on tour, you know, they were on tour with Hawthorne Heights, and they were on tour with Isley, and they on tour with Cute Is What We Aim For, and, like, signed to Victory Records, and, like, went through a legal battle with Victory. And
didn't everyone?
Yeah. So we were, like, as kids, we're able to see this kind of the inside of the music industry, and, like, what it's like being in a band early on. And, like, they were catching some buzz, and were, like, just, like, all these tiny things that, like...
Well, it also felt like when they won, like, somehow we were winning, too.
Yeah.
Like... And you know, there was times when we were in bands and not in bands and, like, still felt so connected with them.
Yeah.
But, like, at a time they were talking to, like, a couple, like, big labels. And it was like, oh, shit. And, like, Tim wasn't their manager, but was, like, kind of, like, helping and stuff. And was he? I don't really think he was.
I don't think he was ever really their manager.
But just, like.
Until much.
Yeah, yeah.
Much later, but.
But, like, just. In and out, and, like, that got him into talking with some of those people.
Yeah.
And but, like, also hearing, like, just how fucking crazy it can go from, like, you need to sign this thing now, or, like, it's off, to, like, and then someone else would be like, well, I want this thing, and then, like, many, like, they turned into, like, kind of a little battle, I remember, at one point. Mm-hmm. Like, who's gonna sign Brighton? And then it was wild, but, like, seeing all that before the main started was like, oh shit.
Yeah. Well, it was just very good. Like, I could talk to, you know, I would talk to Jimmy for, you know, for hours about just, you know, what are you doing online to talk to fans, and what are you doing at the shows? And, you know, he's telling me that, like, you know, after every show, he's like up on a table with a box of their albums, getting people to buy it. And,
so that's where you learned it from.
Yeah. And, you know, just like they did everything very like DIY, where they, like, you know, he's an artist, and incredible artist, and that's what he does. Continues to do, but you know, they would like build their own production for the shows, these like giant canvases and these frames that he painted that they had on stage, and they looked,
oh, so cool.
It looked fucking awesome.
Well, and that also made it seem, that's why, like, when we went to see him, is like right when they became our homies, like we went to see him like right after that, and like that just seemed like the biggest thing. Yeah. I was like, holy shit, they're like more legit than any other band I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It just seemed so cool. Because those paintings were massive. They were like, in my head, they're 10 feet tall. They're not. Yeah. But like, they were so big. It looked so cool.
It was awesome. Yeah, so we kind of just learned everything that we knew at the time from them. And like, kind of just from being able to be around them. Hear how they talk. Hear how they get on tours, like how these opportunities, you know, come about. And, you know, and then I think they began to learn things from us then. Cause you know, we were just so hungry to work, and, we're kind of building our own little thing. And,
well, I think that's also why they came back so often too, was because then we would throw them on. Cause then our band was doing pretty well. So they got the option to come and play these like shows to like 500, 600 people in Phoenix. And so, and you know, and then also hang out, but there was more to it than that. So it was cool. And that definitely helped. Like if we're like, hey, here's this show that you can come play and there's like five people, then it'd be less attractive than, you know, coming and there's a few hundred.
But yeah, it's just very interesting to think that these, you know, this band, you know, kind of just like embraced us as kids so much, you know, and like, obviously it was great to have a place to live on tour, and my mom would do their laundry and cook them food, and like, it was comfortable, and like, you know, my parents were so cool about that.
Yeah.
Which was crazy, because it's like their merch guy Quinn, you know, is out there smoking cigarettes and and like looking grungy and grimy and cussing and having no concern that my parents are there or whatever. Yeah. And my parents are just cool with all these people staying at me when I'm 15 years old. Like,
well, that and like taking over the living room completely like just stinking bad, like road dudes do. Oh man, I can't. Yeah, that's awesome that they just let it happen.
Yeah,
it's cool as fuck.
Because we learned so much during that time, and then, you know, as the main began, you know, we took a lot of their influence of, even with our songs and stuff. I mean, I think we. The early stuff from the main was very influenced by Brighton.
Yeah.
You know, like even like some of like the production type things.
Oh yeah. I mean, definitely. Like, I mean, like the, like, I feel like Jimmy was like such an influence on you. Yeah. Like as a drummer.
Yeah.
Like keep it easy, but like hit the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Like, this could be the guitar, like, yeah, like, everything about this, we were just wanted to be this band.
Yeah.
They were just so much better.
Yeah, I mean, this sounds like Shake It or any of those, like, early songs.
I mean, even, like, If Only the Heart or something.
Yeah,
beginning, like, I mean, I can't imagine how many times you referenced them just making songs. Yeah. Like, what else?
Yeah. Oops. Yeah.
I mean, we definitely would have all of this stuff. But do you remember hearing this song for the first time?
Oh, yeah.
We were on a vacation.
Mine was blown, yeah.
You and me were on a little vacation. My parents went to Lake Powell.
Yeah.
And I had this from Tim. You stole this from Tim.
Yeah.
And we weren't allowed to talk about it, but we just over and over listened to this song.
It was just so like aggressive and weird and
What was so cool. What was the dude who recorded their stuff? I forgot his name.
Jeff something, yeah.
Like we wanted
He was in I'm gonna blank what
Number One Gun.
Yes. Number One Gun.
And we wanted to record, like, I remember there's so many talks. Like, at one point, we were going to record Can't Stop with, like, in our heads.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because, I don't know, Squire seems so, like, not an option. We're like, okay, well, what else, like, who said there's something cool? And
yeah.
He was definitely up there. He's probably, like, number two on our list.
Yeah. I think we were going to go on tour with Number One Gun at one point.
Really?
Yeah, there was a little tour that we had to cancel to record Can't Stop, but we got an offer for it.
Oh wow! I remember that.
Yeah, yeah, and you know that's when we met Peter.
Yeah.
So Peter was friends with them and would come in with them and do their merch and stuff, and so we met him through that, and then you know, then he would come back through town with other bands, and then still you know come and hang out with us.
And he became our first person that toured with us.
Yeah.
And like he showed us that once you're out there, like how to do that.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I'll never forget leaving your house and we just got the van. It was just us five and Peter. And I'll never remember, like it was like maybe early spring.
Yeah.
And just leaving and be like, oh shit. Here we go. Like this is now my life is different.
Yeah. You know, so Brighton took us on our first ever little tour. And you know, just, I mean, knowing how to like load your gear into the venue the right way and stuff was like, we just watched them. We would just go to their shows and watch how they, you know, I would be there all day just seeing how the merch was set up, and like they would just do these little, you know, they put attention to detail on that stuff. You know, they made the merch display look cool, and they made the stage look cool, and they'd have a little intro that they'd come out to, and interludes between songs and stuff. And that was just such a big influence on us, you know. Yeah. I don't know. I you know, I think when you're beginning things, you really need some kind of a mentor, you know, to teach you the ways of how to do things. And I mean, that's absolutely what they were for us. I don't know what we would have done without that.
Yeah, I mean, even to the point of our band before the main.
Yeah,
our singer wrote us. We had a song about them. And just
about Brighton.
About Brighton. And
how
like,
much they pretty much everything to us.
Pretty much everything we're talking about is like
in a song form.
Yeah. So it's like they had been this guiding light like for us for years and years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like you said, like having someone kind of show you the path without like telling you this is exactly what to do or like.
I mean, I think we were luckily we were able to, you know, because there were a bunch of things that they also, you know, because they kind of got jaded on things pretty early on, you know, I think that really got in their way of like continuing the band, you know. So, you know, we were able to see the things that we also didn't want to take from like how they did it, you know. So it was just every aspect of it, like a camp. You know, say enough of how influential they were on us having a career in music. Like
I'm even thinking about the label stuff because they had such a hard time with that, and like just seeing them having to go through that and seeing how fucked up it can be. Then when it actually came to our time, it's like, okay,
we're very cautious. Yeah.
Yes, and think about like what actually is the best route, and that isn't like this shiny cool thing that like is really looks awesome from right now, but like after if you take a step back and actually look what is happening there, it's not as good as it could be. So like what works for us, and I think having them, it sucks that that is the situation that happened, but I think it helped us for sure.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah,
they're cool.
to me as a kid, I mean, I was like, I was able to enter into a world that I wanted so desperately to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, there was nothing I would have rather done in the world than just be a fly on the wall with a band. And like, that's what I was able to do.
Totally.
You know, I mean, I remember talking about like, what if I had a live camera of Taking Back Sunday for every day of the year, and I could just see how they, what happens, you know, or whatever. And it was like, that was pretty much what Brighton was for us.
I always wanted that in the form of a studio.
Mm-hmm.
I always but then like Blink did it, but, and then Under Oath did it, but I feel like it was muted.
Yeah.
I thought it, I mean, of course someone would say something horrible or something during that, so you can't
do it. And it's like you want it to be a surprise and then the music comes out.
But. Yeah. But I mean, if that was an actual I would try and go. Remember when that was a thing?
Yeah.
And I remember like just spending hours like, and it seemed like they never worked.
Yeah.
besides the point.
Yeah.
Well, Brighton.
So it's can't say enough good things about them, and you know, they've continue to be good friends, and
we'll leave it with this because this reminds me of just happy times too.
Okay. Yeah.
This reminds me Warp Tour 08, 09?
9, yeah.
Max Sisson would play this every fucking morning. Every morning I'd wake up at 8 o'clock. He'd be up there, like, doing some, like, receipt stuff with money. Mm. And this would just be on repeat, and he'd be, like, with his shirt off, like, singing.
So if you have not checked out Brighton, do it.
An endless amount of great music.
Justin, you may know him from A Rock to the Moon. Mm-hmm. If you didn't know about Brighton for some reason, but he was a songwriter with Nick and guitar player for Rocket.
And now he rocks with Dan and Shay.
Yes.
Dan plus Shay.
So, it's a big part of our history as a band, I would say. Brighton plays a major role. You know, you can think about all these pivotal moments, us, you know, getting off of Warner Brothers, us signing to Fearless, recording Can't Stop, you know, all these big moments, and, you know, Brighton is up there in that list. So
for sure.
Awesome. Cool. Well, hopefully you enjoyed kind of hearing
us geek out.
Yeah.
Tight.